Hi everyone, this is Donna, and welcome to today's podcast on Health Coach Donna. My guest today is Maddie Vertentin, and Maddie has been a health and business entrepreneur since 2006. She is an outspoken advocate for women's self-discovery and empowerment. Who says that living a turned-on life is non-negotiable? Maddie believes that daily self-care rituals and cultivating essential feminine sensuality creates a ripple effect which profoundly impacts our loved ones, communities, and the world. She offers luminous life programs, daily practices, and wellness products through MaddieV.com to help women of all ages discover how to care for themselves inside and out. Maddie, welcome today, and I'm so excited to talk to you.
I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for inviting me, Donna.
Sure. So let's start. We're going to talk about self-care today, and I'd like to know, like, why self-care and what is it about it that interests you?
Well, what interests me about it is that so many women don't do it, and I didn't used to do it, and a lot of women, men too, but mostly because I am a woman, I focus primarily on women, think that to practice self-care would be selfish. And so not only don't they do it, but they actively avoid it. And so I think there's a huge opportunity for us to educate ourselves about it. And it's as a mom of a young girl and a son, I think it's profoundly important that I practice and demonstrate what it looks like to be nourished in every aspect of my life, because that's what I want for my children. So, and why would I teach other women about this? Because I want to create a movement. I want all of us to be filling our own cup first so that our children learn that that's the way to live, and the ripple effect from that is a much happier world.
Oh, Maddie, that is fantastic. And I love it that you really focus on, it reminds me of, you know how you're on an airplane and they always tell you to put your oxygen mask on first. I know I think a lot of people use that analogy, but it is really true. If you're not getting your own oxygen, how can you help anybody else?
It's such a cliche, but cliches are around because they're usually true, you know?
Yeah. And so tell me a little bit, how are nourishing relationships important to self-care?
Well, I always, when I'm introducing the ideas around self-care, I like to break it up into four buckets. Even though practices around self-care can fall into more than one bucket, it's helpful when you're getting started to think about physical self-care, emotional self-care, mental self-care, and spiritual self-care. So I think that nourishing relationships falls within the emotional self-care bucket. And our whole lives are made up of relationships, relationship with family, relationships with partner, relationships with friends, with children, and attending to the quality of those relationships is really, really important. The other reason I'm really interested in self-care is that I think a lot of us are living our lives in what I call default mode. We've just kind of got our default settings on, and we're just sort of walking through life a little bit asleep.
So true.
Know, going to our job, to our 9-to-5, you know, feeding our families, you know, getting on our various devices, consuming various media, going to sleep and repeating the pattern. When that happens, everything about the quality of our life suffers without conscious attention to detail. Now, trust me, I like my devices and I like consuming my media too. But because I like that thing, I know that I have to practice. I have to bring in practices to keep myself awake, to keep my life juicy and vibrant. And I think one of the easiest ways we can practice is just by simply being more attentive to our relationships and the quality of our relationships and making decisions about the kinds of relationships that we want to have where those decisions are available. So, yeah, when I say where they're available, obviously we can't choose our parents. We can't choose our children. We can choose our spouses, but anybody who's ever had a spouse or a long-time partnership knows that those relationships are fraught with challenges, and if you're committed to it, you try to be in it for the long haul, you know, where you can be, where both people are committed to making it work. So I guess for our purposes today, I would talk more about friendships.
Mm-hmm.
This is where I really learned some of my earliest practices around emotional self-care had to do with the friendships in my life. So I think that's a pretty easy place to begin.
Yeah. And so, as far as that's concerned, like, yeah, you can pick your friends. So what would you suggest when you're looking at friendships, how to nourish them? Because friendships take a lot, can take effort as well, because it's a relationship and you've got to put something into it as well as getting something out of it. So when, for that part of the friendship, what would you suggest? Like, what do people need to develop in friendships, or do you know what I'm at? You know what I mean? Like, what is the nourishing friendship?
Yeah. And actually I would go back to, where friendship begins, or I would even just start by taking a look at what your friendships are right now. So, whenever I'm talking about this, I get kind of a mental picture of my life when this was brand new to me, when I was sort of living in default mode. I had a kid in kindergarten and my baby in daycare, and I was working a pretty crazy 9-to-5 job. And I always see myself at the elementary school in the hallway waiting for kindergarten to let out and standing in the hallway amongst, you know, half a dozen moms. And my friendships in those days were not friendships I would describe as nourishing. I didn't really have time for a lot of personal connections. Most of my friends were people that I had sitting near me in a cubicle at work, or they were the moms that I stood in the hallway with. And because I was exploring working with women, I had started participating in women's circles, and I had started being really attentive to my personal growth and my self-care, I started to really be attentive to where these sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? Relationships, and they weren't really in the relationship stage yet, but I noticed where just interactions with people either infused me with energy or drained me.
Yeah.
And that's where it begins, by noticing how you feel when you're talking to someone, if you feel a resonance where your body language is that you're leaning in and you notice that they're leaning in, and there might be a hint of excitement in your voices. There might be a, oh my gosh, me too. Oh, really? You have that experience also? You know, and you know, the pitch goes up a little bit, you know, the energy gets heightened, and that's when you know, like, this is a person that I enjoy spending time with. Versus what happens a lot of times in the mommy circuit, especially, which surprised me when I was a new mom, is sort of this competitive thing. Like, you know, Johnny's so smart, and Susie's and gifted and talented, and you know,
yes,
look how fast so and so is, and even moms sort of saying, I remember some moms talking about, you know, Larry, who's, you know, has a bad home life, but he's a bad kid and he's a bully, and I'm like, Larry is 7. Like, why are we saying bad things about Larry? So, you know, like hints that these situations, these conversations were draining me. That was not the quality of conversation that uplifted me or that I wanted to have in my life. And while there was a lot of social pressure in that school environment to sort of keep up with these moms and hang out with these moms and participate in parenting groups with these moms, my soul would have none of it. It was just that I had to make a really conscious decision that that's not where I wanted to spend my time and my energy. And even though all the women in the neighborhood were in those social groups, I needed to make that call. I needed to make that choice. So that's really where I feel it begins.
Yeah, I think for those listeners who are moms, we do kind of very easily relate to our social circles become around, associated around the parents of the kids who your kid plays with. And then those become like, let's have dinner with this couple because the kids get along together. And the parents the kids might get along, but the parents might not always be the right friendship for you. I mean, sometimes you do luck out and they're really wonderful people and you enjoy hanging out with them. And often I'll get questions from patients. They'll start to look at their relationships and that some of the women that they might be hanging out with are kind of draining and they don't feel nourished by them. So when you find yourself in that situation, like you did, what do you do? Like, it's kind of like you have to figure out where to find a new friend or a nourishing friendship. And what are some of the things that you could suggest that listeners can do if they want to start cultivating more nourishing friendships?
Absolutely. Well, probably one of the toughest things is sometimes friendships have to end. And that's a little challenging. So sometimes we have to actively move away from a relationship. You know, I always think of these two relationships in particular in my life where I noticed they were extremely draining and I was putting in way more energy than I was receiving back. And there wasn't a breakup like there might have been in a romantic partnership, but what I did was I returned calls less frequently, or when I did have calls, I would keep it a little bit at the just catching up, and then I would have a reason that I had to go. And I think that allowed in both of those cases, I mean, I still am acquaintances with those people, but we no longer talk on the phone on a twice weekly basis like we used to. We just kind of all allowed for the natural progression to take place where we moved in our separate directions. On the playground, you know, this is hard for me because I'm an extrovert and I love to share and I'm probably an oversharer, but I've learned how to just attend to the quality of my energy. And I learn where to offer, where to hold space for someone and where to hold back a little bit. I'm not rude. I don't cut people off. I mean, I like to be available to people, but I just know that unless a relationship feels deeply nourishing for me, I don't let people all in. And I used to let everybody all in, and it made for a pretty chaotic emotional life for me. So there's that level of discernment. Who gets the best of me? Mm. That includes time. So if somebody calls me on the phone, you know, as a mom, as a partner, as a businesswoman, my time is precious to me. I mean, as just a person, I mean, I might need my time by myself walking in the woods or meditating. Mm. So I have learned how to let people know when I don't have a lot of time. If somebody calls, I may say, I have about 10 minutes before I have to go, just so you know, how can I help you? And that way I'm setting a clear boundary with that person.
And that's a good practice, too, because I think many women don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah, we're kind of classically overgivers. A lot of us have learned that from our mothers and our grandmothers. And, again, that's a big piece of self-care as well. You know, find ways to fill your oxygen mask, fill your cup first. Mm. I also want to speak to new friendships because I think, you know, letting some friendships go, you know, figuring out, you know, if you're going to connect with someone when you first meet them is great, but sometimes we want to proactively seek and engage new people. I forget what the exact quote or statistic is, but there's this idea in personal growth circles that your health or the state of your finances or just the quality of your life in general will reflect that of the 10 people that you spend the most time with.
Oh, okay.
So I really love that idea. So thinking about, you know, who has a quality of life that you admire? Who has a personality or a presence or a sense of humor or, you know, whatever it is that you would like more of in your life, and seek to cultivate a connection with them. Invite these people to meet you out for a walk. Invite them to meet you for a cup of coffee or a cup of tea. Even if somebody seems like they're really popular and really busy in your community, you'd be surprised how many people don't approach that person to ask them to spend time and connect with them. So don't be shy about reaching out and making those kinds of connections. And then sometimes when you do that, you know, you may sit down with that person for a cup of coffee and the energy isn't there.
Right.
They're not what you thought they were going to be. And so you enjoy an exchange of ideas and then you go on your way and perhaps that doesn't become a really close nurturing bond. But you would never know if you didn't explore the possibility.
Right. I also like the idea of how you talked about, in a way, not being attached to the friendship because you've known each other since you were 15, but you've grown apart and now it's really draining. I find that sometimes I'm a really good friend and I will call people and get in touch and invite for dinner. But then there's a point where it's like, gee, for the last year, I've done all the kind of the reaching out and the inviting. And then there's a point where you just go, you know what? Maybe it's just not a good fit anymore and I need to stop reaching out so much because it's kind of like not a good exchange of energy.
Absolutely. You know, I think I have a couple high school friends, not very many, but, you know, a small handful, maybe two or three.
That's actually, I think, really good. I don't know anyone from high school other than the Facebook post. And half the time I don't know who they are because they look so different.
True, they look different. Their names have changed. They live in different places. But that sort of, I mean, I have a lot of people that are acquaintances, but the people, like the handful of people are people who, it doesn't matter if we haven't spoken for 4 years, we get together and we just kind of fall back into it.
Yes.
And that's awesome. I mean, it's, to me, that's the mark of a truly excellent friendship, that you don't necessarily have to, there's not that feeling of expectation that you have to be staying in touch, that you owe each other anything. And I notice that if I do feel that way about a relationship, like if I feel like I'm putting in all the effort and I don't feel there's any reciprocal energy coming back toward me, that tiny piece of resentment is a pretty big clue that it's not a fit, that there's not resonance happening there. And, you know, it can be sad sometimes because maybe I thought this was a promising possibility, but if they don't feel it and they're not acting on it and I feel like I might be a little bit used, then you let that go.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how when we're willing to let go of something in our lives, how that void can be filled by something truly spectacular. There's that quote. This quote has been coming up for me all week, and I wish I had it memorized. It's the quote by Goethe, G-O-E-T-H-E, Johannes von Goethe, I think, where he talks about, you know, that when you make that commitment, you take that action, then providence moves too. It's kind of like that. Like if you make a commitment to the quality of your friendships, and part of that means letting go of a friendship that isn't working or a relationship that you've been striving to have, it's just not happening, then you'd be surprised who just shows up at the playground the next day and sits down next to you on a park bench and you have a heart-to-heart.
Right.
I mean, there's this woman I contacted recently who I met on a long red-eye flight from San Diego to New York. No, it was to Boston. San Diego to Boston. And it was crazy. Like, everybody was sleeping, and we were like, woof. Like, it was just immediate. And you never know. You never know
right.
where a truly quality person is going to show up in your life. And it's great when that happens.
Well, that's the quote also reminds me of, and it might be a feng shui thing or something like that, where, like, you clean out a sock drawer, and the universe sees that you've made room for something else to come into your life. And it doesn't absolutely mean more socks. Like, it's not socks for socks or underwear for underwear. But you've created space. And I tell people all the time when they want a relationship, like a romantic relationship, or they just want to change their friendships a bit, I tell them to go home and clean out their closet a bit. Most people can clean out their closets very easily. You know, and just take some things out and create space so your life doesn't feel so crammed in. And it's so funny how a physical thing like cleaning out a drawer can equate to energetically giving yourself more space.
Yeah, there's a great book, and I'm see if I can find it. Maybe you can include it later to your listeners. But there's a great little book about feng shui and astrology, and it's really great to know like which place in your house is the helpful people place.
Yes.
And you can do that according to the new moon, like when the new moon is in a certain house, you know, and you clean that area of your home, and you can create an altar in that area of your home using the proper elements and the right colors. It's such a fun practice. I just think it's a blast to do that and just bring up conscious attention to that part of your life. So that's another wonderful self-care practice.
Yeah, that's true. And if we can't think of the book, what I could tell listeners to do is you can easily Google the feng shui map, and you just align it from your door space, and then each area along the walls and the corners all relate to a different aspect of your life, whether it might be financial or whatever. And when you put that over your house plan, look at, like, do you have a bunch of clutter in some area that really needs cleaning out and sorting? And that way you can create more space in that area of your life as well. And, you know, feng shui is a beautiful art, but I've found that it's really quite amazing how quickly things shift when you move clutter out of an area.
It's true. I found the book. It's Astro Feng Shui. It's by Simone Butler.
Okay, great.
Making magic in your home and life. I found it on my cluttered bookshelf in my office. Thankfully, they're sort of organized by category.
It must have been organized in some way for you to be able to pick it up that quickly. So that's great. And so, Maddie, now, is there anything else that you would like to share with our listeners about nourishing friendships or relationships or, you know, taking that self-care time for themselves?
Yeah, I guess I think you can apply this in any area of your life. I'm thinking about, for some reason, I'm thinking about work relationships too. I think a lot of people think, you know, if they're in their career or in their work, you know, I'm picturing myself in my cubicle environment that I used to be way back when, before I started to work for myself. Like, now I'm blessed to have work partnerships with people that I truly love and inspired by. And I made a conscious decision to do that. But before my whole life opened up in this way, I used to feel a little bit of victim of circumstance in my cubicle farm, in my corporate job in Austin, Texas. And I just, if your listeners feel themselves in that kind of situation, I just want to remind them that this can happen in your workplace as well. And in fact, it's important that it happen in your workplace. Just because you might be working in a certain area and the people sitting near you may not nourish your soul, you can and definitely should seek to find quality relationships in the workplace. It can have a huge impact in the quality of relationships in your work, and then spill over into your, you know, your financial well-being and your ability to make a difference. So for some reason, I felt the need to share that. And then I guess I would also just say, I'll share that on my website, which is maddiev.com, and it's Maddie with a Y, so maddiev.com. I have created a little quiz. And it takes probably 5-6 minutes. It's a video quiz that's called the Glow Factor Quiz. And it's a visual quiz where you select images around 8 different questions about self-care. And you select the images that resonate the most for you about the quality of your self-care in those 8 different areas. And then it's a real-time quiz. So as you select each answer, you will then get a response from me about, you know, that area of self-care and some different practices that you might try. So just taking 6 minutes of your day to do that quiz, which I think is really fun and really beautiful. I spent a lot of time making it fun and beautiful because those are important qualities to me. You'll come away with probably 10 different ideas that you could begin to implement as a self-care practice. I would not suggest implementing all 10 at once because that's overwhelming.
Yes.
And it's terrible self-care, and then you'll give it all up. I would suggest writing down all 10 and maybe picking one week and then adding one the second week and moving on from there.
Nice. Well, that is maddiev.com. And there, when they can also sign up for your newsletter there too, as well. Is that possible?
Yeah,
well, I highly recommend it. I love Maddie's newsletters. They come out; they're very inspirational, and I love getting them. They're not a burden in my inbox. They're actually something I look forward to reading. So I know that we can be overwhelmed with inboxes and newsletters and that sort of thing. So I'm very particular in who gets into my inbox and what actually gets read, which is another self-care thing, I think, because
yes.
Otherwise we can be just so overwhelmed. And I find myself sometimes randomly signing up for newsletters and then they end up in my inbox and I'm like, what was I thinking?
Clearing the clutter in your email is important too.
Yes, very.
And one reason you don't get them very often is I pretty much only write when I'm inspired. So I try to do at least once a week, but sometimes that suffers. So every, you know, probably 2 to 3 times a month, my subscribers hear from me.
And that's wonderful. So if you're interested in getting more insights from Maddie on self-care, do her quiz and sign up for her newsletter. Maddie, it's been such a wonderful pleasure speaking with you today, and I so thank you for doing this and sharing it with us.
This is so fun. I usually only get to see you in person once a year, so for us to reach across the entire country to connect like this has been so much fun. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, you're so welcome.